I'd like to read the third verse of number 350. There is a stream which issues forth from God's eternal throne and from the land, a living stream, clear as a crystal stone. This stream doth water paradise. It makes the angels sing. One cordial drop revives my heart. Thence all my joys do spring. This morning, I would like to preach to you about living water. Turn to the 47th chapter of Ezekiel. Strange place to go. Bet you didn't see that one coming. Well, you might have. But before I read this, I want to read something else that Jeremiah wrote. And this is God speaking in 2 and 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And hewed that, that's one evil. The second evil is, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. You see, that describes the condition of man aside and apart from God. Ones that forsake God, just as Adam sewed an apron of fig leaves that was insufficient and couldn't cover him, so all of those that forsake God, the fountain of living waters, their best efforts to try to gather water are futile at best, because they're trying to put whatever they're trying to put in broken cisterns, and they try to hew them out themselves, or they do hew them out themselves. But it takes God's intervention to take what we've hewn out away and replace it with something substantial. Just like He replaced what Adam did with a sufficient covering. And He takes these broken cisterns. You know, I've said it many times. People in America know the world that forsake God have a hole, a void in their life. And they try to fill that hole with anything and everything that they can, and it never gets full because they're trying to fill a God-sized hole with the world. And you can put the whole world in that hole and it will not fill it up. It will not fill that void. And so whatever your broken cisterns are that you're trying to put stuff in, I want you to think today. While I'm preaching about this, what your broken cisterns are, and how many times that you and me have forsaken the fountain of living waters in exchange for trying to put something in a broken vessel. Ezekiel chapter 47. I was thirsty and I took a drink. Afterward, well, I got to back up a little bit and give you a little background. And I always do that. I'll tell you where I'm going to go and then I back up, don't I? I always do that. In 46, he talks about part of the temple. And he talks about the priests' private dwellings. And that they were supposed to bake the cakes and boil some things in preparation, but not so that they would sanctify the people with what they boiled in their private dwellings. And then he took him to the four corners of the outer court, or the utter court, and he said, and each one of the corners had four courts around that. And that, and each one of those chambers was where the people came, and that's where that the priests were to dispense out what was boiled in that place. And it's representative of the Church of God today. It won't do for me to go into it, but I want you to think about why the priests were not to, why they were supposed to go into their private chambers. And that stuff was for them. But it was for them to take later and to provide it to the people. And it all has to do with study and meditation. Afterward, Ezekiel says, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. Where did he take him to? Where did he take him to? He took him to the door, didn't he? He took him to the door. What is Jesus? He said, I'm the door, didn't he? He took him again into the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house and at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and he led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. Who brought him through all these? He didn't walk through them on his own, did he? It says he brought me through. The man that had the line. The waters were to his loins. That means it was this deep. Up here. Afterward he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. That means it takes the river to bring it. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even to En-Eglaim. And they shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. You know where this river comes from, don't you? It comes from the most holy place. That's the fountain. That's where it issues from. That's where it originates. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. So not only does this river heal polluted waters, but it causes life to grow. It sustains life. And that which grows by this river has fruit. And the leaves are for medicine. If you read your Bible, you'll notice that this has another reference in Revelation about the rivers, or river of living waters, and the tree that was for the healing of nations. that yielded his manner of fruit every month. Now, I want us, I see this picture in my head of the Lord, the man with the line, taking Ezekiel. Around that temple, and I see him measuring, and I see him showing Ezekiel this spiritual application. There wasn't a river. They did have water in the temple, but it didn't originate from the holiest of all. But he sees that it comes and it starts as a small trickle from the door. And the farther he measures and the farther away he gets, the more deep and the more wide this river gets. The more influence it has. And I think that you could gain several points on this, that there are some shallow waters that you can walk really and relish in at the beginning of where the door is. you know that Jesus loves you. You know that. And then the more you stay there, it's wonderful, but this river don't just flow right there. It flows farther and gets wider and gets deeper so that you can understand greater truths about God's Word and greater truths about the place that it issues from. These harder doctrines, like the doctrine of the Trinity. Who can explain that? You ever heard a preacher say, "We in deep waters now"? You can go as deep as you want. Do you understand the resurrection? Do you understand really about how Jesus Christ made atonement for you? I know that you know how He did it, but I want you to understand. Do you understand the lengths of His suffering? That's deep waters. You'll never be able to swim across that river and understand it all. But I also think this talks about time. You remember, at the beginning after Jesus' resurrection, and they were all there in the house before the day of Pentecost. You remember that? How many of them were there? Is 120. Small in number, wasn't it? That was at the beginning. How many people are followers of Christ today? Deep and wide. There's a song about that. Y'all ever heard it? Deep and wide. Deep and wide as a fountain flowing deep and wide. It's talking about this right here. This has reference to the Dead Sea when it talked about salt. The miry places and the marshes would not be healed. That's farther away from where the fountain and the river flows into it. That's way on the back side of it. Y'all understand? Do y'all see that? The farther away you get from where the river flows into it, the worse off it's going to be for you. There's so many citations of this. I'm just going to read a few more. Joel chapter 3. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down with new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and the fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Zechariah 14 and 8. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter it shall be. This is a great point on this one. Y'all know that when the rainy season happens, over here in this part of the world, there are some times when you could walk across the Jordan River or some of the other rivers over there and it would be dry. It's just a dry creek bed. I know you've seen dry creek beds in Tennessee and North Carolina. But when the snow melts and the water comes down from above, up on the mountaintop, and it comes down and the rainy season and the water overflows the banks. Y'all see that? But here it says, in winter and in summer shall it be. That means that the climate doesn't bother this river. Time doesn't bother this river. It is everlasting. It's not, it doesn't flow based on nature. Now, got to move on. All right. Remember Joel. All right, turn to John chapter 4. We talked about this a little bit last week. We introduced it a little bit. Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Verse 7, there cometh a woman out of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. You know why she didn't ask him? Because she didn't know who he was. And she didn't know the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ. Salvation by Him. Atonement by Him. Grace by Him. Mercy by Him. If she would have known that, she would have asked of Him, Lord, give me that living water. But she didn't. And she says, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Who's going to give us who's going to give this water? Jesus is. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now I want us to think about this. Jesus said, drink. That, you know, what am I doing now? The water was here, and now it went down my throat into my stomach. I drank it. I took it in. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Not going in, issuing forth, springing up. We are told to drink it, aren't we? But you know, even the Jews that in meditating and thinking about the Messiah and reading all of those flowing rivers of living water, citations of water in the Old Testament, even they made the example that they took Moses and said, our first Redeemer, Moses, smote the rock and river of water flowed from that rock, from that rock. So also Christ, the Messiah, when He shall come, He shall rivers of living water shall flow from him as well. Even they, back in their old writings, said the same thing of the Messiah. And here it is, Jesus says this to this lady, this sister. You drink it. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, springing forth. Notice back in Ezekiel, when you don't have to turn back there, but you notice it said, whithersoever the river floweth, not whosoever cometh up to the river will have life. Did y'all catch that? It didn't say whosoever comes up to the river has life. It said wherever the river floweth hath life. Y'all get that? Hopefully we're going to get somewhere. I remember I used to help my grandfather feed the hogs. And I can see him in my mind's eye walking down that old dusty road. About probably 200 yards to the hog pen. Carrying a 5-gallon bucket full of, they called it shorts, but to slop, to feed the hogs. And he told me, he says, draw up some water. I knew what that meant. We had a well there. It was about this big around. Had a bucket, old wooden bucket, and a rope on a hoist. And I would hoist it down, and I could see the water down there. You know, not one time did I speak to that water and it come up on its own. I had to draw it out. And it took some effort. hard for a young boy. But I finally got it up, and then I'd water the hogs with it. There's an amazing thing about water. It's got a lot of properties to it. It goes in the channels and naturally it goes, you know, you see the channels of the rivers. You know where this spiritual river flows? It flows in the channels that God directs it. Where God directs it to go, that's where it goes. That's a great word, draw. It means to bring close. All those Old Testament things. Let's turn over a few pages to John chapter 7. Because Jesus is not done with this. Verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. That didn't mean he cried with tears. That means he said with a loud voice, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, I want us to first get this out of the way. Have you ever been thirsty? I've been thirsty. You think those people in that graveyard back there are thirsty? They're not thirsty. Why? Because they're dead. Dead people don't get thirsty. They have no need to drink. You could pour all the water you wanted to into a dead man's mouth and it wouldn't quench anything because he has nothing to be quenched. That would be silly, wouldn't it? At a funeral to see somebody in a coffin take a bottle of water, open it, and pour it into their mouth. People would think you're crazy. And yet folks think all the time that you can, that someone that's dead in trespasses and in sins can come to Jesus and even want to drink. They're not hungering and thirsting for righteousness. They're hungering and thirsting for the world, and that's what they have to eat and drink. Jesus says, "Blessed is he that hungereth and thirsteth for righteousness, for he shall be filled." This invitation is to thirsty people. And he says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said," many scriptures talked about it. I mean, just to say a few. Isaiah 41 and 17 says, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. There are many scriptures, Jesus said, that talked about this. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And yet there's not one specific one that has this exactly. But Jesus said, there's a bunch of them. But I want you to notice the parenthetical expression. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You know, when I was growing up, I thought that these writers journaled every day. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I thought they chronicled their daily actions and interchanges with Christ. That's not the case. They didn't write this down until way later. And the Spirit blessed them to recall these things. Do y'all see that? He couldn't have put that parenthetical expression in there then, because he didn't even know. John didn't realize what Jesus was talking about until later. Peter didn't understand. None of the disciples understood what Jesus was talking about. They said, what is this that he says? He's going to go away and come again. What is it? We can't tell what he says. Where is he going to go that we can't go where he is? I don't understand what he's saying. But later they understood. Now, he says that this spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But I'm telling you, there came a time where he was risen and he was glorified, and then there came a time that they did receive the Spirit, and I want us to go over there. I want us to turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. This is Peter. They thought Peter, in verse 14, that they were mocking and said, these people are full of new wine. This on day of Pentecost, where they had all different kind of people, Jews from, I don't know, 7, 8, 10, 13, 15 different countries. I can't remember right now. There's a bunch of them. Spoke a bunch of different languages. And they heard in their own tongues, speaking their own tongues, the wonderful works of God. And some of them, mocking, said, these men are full of new wine. The others were amazed. But Peter, standing up in verse 14 with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He says, this is that. And it shall come to pass, and this is that that he's going to read now. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then Peter goes on and tells them about Jesus. I want you to know that this is the day that there was those brethren that were there following Jesus, and sisters that followed Jesus while He walked around, God manifest in the flesh before His resurrection. They were born again. They had been born of the Spirit, and yet they had not received the Holy Ghost. There's something different. Something different. They didn't understand. The Holy Ghost, John says, was not yet given, and yet they were born of the Spirit. Have y'all ever thought about that? Do y'all remember that? And they didn't need the Holy Ghost because they had Jesus. He says, if I go away, I'll send you another Comforter. Now, I want us to think about this while they were all there at the house after Jesus' resurrection, but when He appeared to them, but before His ascension in those 40 days, He appeared there and He breathed on them and they received what? The Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, brethren, the Holy Ghost reveals and it helps you to understand spiritual things. It helps you to understand when you read in Ezekiel that's not talking about water that we splash in and drink that flowed from underneath the door threshold that cut wider and deeper. He's telling you about spiritual things, and that Holy Ghost is a revealer of those spiritual things. And it helps you, and it springs up, it nourishes. You know what water does? Water purifies. Water is nourishing. Water is sustaining. It's cleansing. Did you know it quenches thirst and it sustains life? Water does a lot of things, doesn't it? It washes away things. It purifies. If you think about this, people say, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Now that's a fountain too, right there, isn't it? Well, I tell you what, water, my friends, is so important in the Scriptures, and it ought to be important for us that we realize when we have been born again, when we have tasted the waters of the river of life, when we have tasted those things, that the farther away we get from the river, the more parched we get. Isn't that true? Y'all ever traveled out west? There's nothing green out there. Nothing. Until if you see a line, there'll be a line, a meandering line a lot of times, of green, and you're thinking, it looks like somebody took a green highlighter or Sharpie and just did that on the landscape. You know why? It's because it's by a creek. It's by water. The farther away you get from the river, the browner you get. I'm not talking about your skin color. I'm talking about your thirst and your nourishment. The song says, one cordial drop revives my heart. Thence all my joys do spring. You see, because it's a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Those that haven't already have everlasting life, but this water sustains that everlasting life, and it will never end. That's why it springs up into it. Do you know that if you are a child of God, that river of living water, it ought to spring up out of you. It ought to nourish and feed and be a blessing to others. I tell you this, it's not just for you. I mean, it is for you, but it's not just for you. It nourishes my soul when I see it springing up out of you. You see that? You see that? Springing up into eternal life. It sustains that spiritual life. It's not that natural water that I was drawing out when I was helping my grandfather feed the hogs. It wasn't that natural water that the woman at Samaria was drawing out. It's that kind of water that you can draw on all the time. David said, therefore with joy will I draw from the well of salvation. It springs up. I tell you, I wish that I could communicate how beautiful this is. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He says, this is the day. This event that you're a part of is exactly what Joel was talking about, Peter says. Can you imagine being there and hearing and witnessing the pouring out of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Can you imagine that? Let me ask you. Have you had an experience of this magnitude personally between you and the Lord? I have. If you haven't, I think you might need to ask the Lord to show it to you. I think you might need to ask the Lord, like He told the woman, if you knew who it was that talks to thee and the gift of God that would have asked of Him. I think you need to talk to the Lord if you haven't seen it. It's a beautiful thing. It's a magnificent thing. It's an indescribable thing. Let's turn to Revelation real quick. There's so much in this. Seven and nine. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, all and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. This is a vision that he had. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. What a sight. What a sight. Saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed or dressed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. Sounds to me like they are at the source of the river. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You know, I don't think this is talking, I don't think this is a vision of what was actually happening in real time. Why would they need to cry if they were in heaven's pure world? Oh, God's going to wipe away all our tears one day. We won't be crying up there. This vision, I believe He's talking about us right now. Worshiping at the throne of God. Before it. Let's turn to 22. I can't stop. I got to leave this. I can't leave it. He says, in verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." He said that in 21 and 6 too, didn't he? He said, 21 and 6, "And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." 22:14. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to eat." "That they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Brother, sister, that's an invitation. That is an invitation. That's not invitation for a dead man to become thirsty. That's an invitation for a thirsty man to come to the fountains of living water. To find healing. To find nourishment. To have your thirst quenched. Oh, the Spirit and the bride say it. And the people that hear it, let them say come. Let the people that hear it say come. To invite. And if you encounter any thirsty people, tell them where they can get their thirst quenched. Tell them where they can nourish that eternal life
that's welling up in them. Tell them where the water is. Whosoever will. There's a bunch of folks that won't. But he said, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Have you freely drunk from that water, from that fountain? It's available to you. You have it inside of you. Are you drinking it? Are you taking it freely? I pray that we all meditate about the water of life. Oh, I could preach about it another hour. The water of life. What a blessing. I pray that you come to that fountain every day, daily, and tell people where it is. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. You know something else water does? It's the answer of good conscience towards God. It's very important in the Scriptures. If you have a desire to be baptized, you can come today and start partaking of that water of life freely. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. You have a song, Brother Chuck.
66.
Number 66.